Greetings, Pejorvins and Retrogrades. Happy Thanksgiving Wednesday. Come to you with some fallout from some news. Of course, you've all heard now about the Waukesha shooting, the act of anti-white terrorism. Recently, the bishops, the USCCB, tweeted out and then deleted the following deliberate mischaracterization, or what I take to be a deliberate mischaracterization of the events. We pray for all those who are injured or who lost their lives in the tragic accident in Waukesha, Wisconsin, especially for the families, parishioners, and priest in the Arch Mill. Lord, hear our prayer. So, parish orphans and retrogrades, God bless you. Let's pray for these families. And as a matter of fact, let's say in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I'm going to borrow from the USCCB. We pray for all those who are injured or who lost their lives in the tragic domestic terrorist attack in Waukesha, Wisconsin, especially for the families, parishioners, and priest. Lord, hear our prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Parish Orphans and Retrogrades, we are going to talk about why the USCCB does these tweets a little bit. That's mainly just speculation and some sort of idiotically fun gossip. More than that, we're going to talk about a prompt today that some of the idiotic, hapless atheist crowd was saying on social media, particularly Twitter, Jesus didn't stop this, which prompts beggars the interrogative, why do bad things happen to people? Why, if there's a God, does he allow bad things to happen to people? There's is an old atheist trope. It's so easy to answer, and we'll answer it. But we're going to start out by putting this properly in context and discussing the USCCB and why they would write this tweet and then delete it. Okay, first I want to hail our lovely, gracious, giving, sharing, lordly patrons to this channel, timothyjgordon.com. Thank you all. Hail. Happy Thanksgiving. As you know, late 2021 and 2022, we are enhancing our Patreon benefits. So thank you all. If you want to become a patron of this show, which is in dire need of it, support, then it's timothyjgordon on patreon.com. We appreciate you. And the benefits are only going up in 2022. So there's a little carrot in front of you. If you want to support this show slightly less directly, you can buy any one of the books associated with it. The most recent book by yours truly is The Case for Patriarchy, on sale now with Sophia Institute Press through its Crisis imprint. It's just a great book, and it's a great gift for the holidays. Give it to your wife. Give it to your friend's wife. A lot of people need to read this book. The other two books associated with this channel are my debut book. This book took me 8 years to research and write. Catholic Republic, also on the Crisis imprint of Sophia Institute Press. This is the book that started it all. And the namesake of the channel, Rules for Retrogrades, co-authored with my brother Dave. This is 40 Tactics to Defeat the Radical Left, how to take back the pop culture, how to take back the country, how to take back the family. You can get the bound home library set for something relatively discounted on Amazon for like $60. Do that today. Okay. That's how you support the show indirectly, and we appreciate you so much. Like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, leave a comment. I like cookies, or something more substantive. Finally, I do urge you guys, as more and more state governors seem to be flirting with the idea of shutting down state lines. Remember in the Rittenhouse trial, we had the fallacious usage, implementation of the idea of border. State border, which is an imaginary thing in the 50 states, as a hard border, not a soft border, state to state, part of the Comity Clause, but a hard border. So the 50 governors might begin talking more aggressively about shutting down their state borders as part of this beer bug effort. Before they do so, get out of your blue state if you live in one, like I did, California. Get to a red state, like I did, Mississippi. What you can afford in terms of home pricing when you get to a red state, most red states, especially if you act fast before all other conservatives leave blue states, is 2, 3, 4 times as much as you could afford. Going from California to Mississippi, you can get yourself a heck of a deal. I went to Mississippi, one of the cheapest states in the union. I think the cheapest state in the union. Contact realestateforlife.org. It will impress you if you let one of these goodly Catholics or pro-life Christians direct you to some beautiful homes that are in your price range, coming from expensive, outsized, outmoded, outshined blue states, you're going to be shocked. realestateforlife.org. Okay, so I want to return to this USCCB tweet, which they put up and almost immediately thereafter expunged from their account. The mark of shame, right? The pockmark is the expunged tweet. They wrote, "We pray for all those who are injured or who lost their lives in the tragic accident in Waukesha, Wisconsin, especially for the families, parishioners, and the priest. Lord, hear our prayers." I don't have to tell you, Parish Orphans and Retrogrades, that they were badly, badly ratioed when they made this tweet. And it was such a ratio to the extent of impelling the USCCB to delete it. Let me ask them this, my effeminate, effete old gentleman in, you know, your old womanish lispy voices. I can almost hear them even when I read your effeminate, effete tweets, right? I almost hear it in that affected, lispy sort of baritone that all of you tend to have. Why even have a Twitter account? Okay, Twitter is a different place. It's not a real place. It's an ugly place. And I'm saying that sincerely, right? And the rest of this question is more like a gotcha. But why even have a Twitter account? Anytime you say any message approaching what you actually want to say, like calling this act of terrorism, anti-white terrorism, an accident, you're going to get ratioed. You're going to get, as a matter of analogy, curb stomped. And that's precisely what happened. It's not a good look. It's something for all of us to consider. Twitter is a place where, generally speaking, the people that hang out there the most are the biggest of the incel losers. It's not the real world. People over 30, 35 generally don't hang out there at all. So USCCB, most of your donors aren't there. It's mainly the youth, and a lot of times it's the angry youth without much happening during the day. Okay, so this is not your donor base. I don't know why you continue to make tweets. And if you're going to continue to make tweets, make ones that are more applicable, that are more concomitant with the medium on which you're making them. You know? I mean, this is not smart. To call Waukesha an accident is so haphazard, is so clearly catastrophic, ill-fit for the medium of Twitter that I can't believe you make it. It just goes to show how out of touch you guys are, your excellences. You old gentlemen. You guys are so fabulous. So fabulous. And you're out of touch with anyone besides one another. You're in touch with one another and your feelings and all that, but you're out of touch with everyone else. And that evidently impels you to make these tweets that I could have told you. I mean, do you have any young people, anyone under like 70 working for you? They would have been like, this is going to go so, so horribly. It's going to go badly. You're going to have to delete this an hour. And then the old bishop will be like, no, it will be wonderful. Wonderful. And it's not going to work. And people are going to hate it. And people are really, in all honesty, can I be honest? People are going to borderline hate you guys. And this is the situation afoot in the world. Why can't you just have said something like, my prayer, We pray for all those who are injured, lost their lives in this tragic act of hate, this tragic act of murderous hate, okay? Even if you don't go as far as I go in characterizing this thing, and, you know, I like to be a week or two ahead of the curve. So I like to say, well, look, it's anti-white hate crime, anti-white domestic terrorism. Boom, it's so obvious. But I understand if you're a little more conservative and you want to wait for them facts to be out first. I get it. But why not stick to what's already out? Why dumb it down? Who do you think is reading your Twitter account that's going to be like, oh, that was an accident in Waukesha? The first person that reads it and buys it's going to say that to their friends. Oh, have you heard of the accident in Waukesha? People are going to be like, the hell you say? What are you talking about? It wasn't an accident. We've seen the video. Evidently, we learned from the Rittenhouse videotape, according to popular media and popular media mavens like yourselves, that the videotape doesn't avail an innocent or a guilty man of the proper amount of culpability in your eyes, does it, you wonderful old gents? It does not, evidently, which is funny, right? We just got through the Rittenhouse trial, man. The Rittenhouse trial is like, I thought it was going to be the anti-OJ trial. On the basis of race, a black man goes free on the basis of race. I was afraid a white man was going to be locked up for 60 years. It would have been the anti-OJ trial. I had that whole headline and supporting characterization all ready to go. But I'm much, much happier instead to be wrong. Rittenhouse, a good man, a hero, walks free. Do we have any response by the USCCB to Rittenhouse before or after the trial?
I'll look.
I meant to look that up before doing this show, and sometimes I just jump right into it. I'm happy to be wrong there. But the point is, what else did we have? I tweeted yesterday that a Black Lives Matter representative, whatever they call him, activist, terrorist is what he is, said the following. He said the following. And I don't think this is a shock to anybody. No. He said this: the Waukesha parade attack linked to the Rittenhouse verdict. Let me read you this Daily Mail story. Your good excellences. It sounds like the revolution has started in Wisconsin. Black Lives Matter activist says Waukesha Christmas parade horror that left five dead was linked to Rittenhouse verdict. Yeah, I'm sorry to report this. It's six dead. There's a little boy, who was in 24-hour brain surgery who died recently. This is on, I'll put this in the show notes. It's on Daily Mail. A Black Lives Matter activist, terrorist, scumbag, piece of garbage, has claimed the Waukesha Christmas parade attack, which killed five people, was linked to the acquittal of teenager Kyle Rittenhouse. Activist Vaughn Mayes speculated that the attack, which saw suspect Daryl Brooks Jr., 39, drive a car into a crowd of parade goers in Wisconsin on Sunday, was the, quote, start of a revolution. What are you talking about? That started like a year and a half ago, man. Mayes claimed that the horror, these names are horrible. Get a better name. Claimed that the horror that unfolded during the Christmas parade was linked to growing anger over the verdict in the Rittenhouse trial, which saw the teenager acquitted on charges stemming from killing two men and wounding another during the unrest that followed the shooting of a black man. For some reason, they keep capitalizing black man by a white police officer. They didn't capitalize white. The hell is that? So Vaughn Mayes said, what did he say? Speaking from the scene of the parade attack on Monday night, Mayes said in a Facebook Live, I don't know. Now we'll have to wait and see because they do have somebody in custody. We may have to wait and see what they say about why this happened. But sounds possible. I'm just trying to speak English here. He said, but is sounds possible that the revolution has started in Wisconsin. It started with this Christmas parade. Mayes continued to speculate and said, I wasn't going to speak on no rumor. He meant he wasn't going to speak on any rumors, but this gentleman speaks some English derivative. He said, I wasn't going to speak on no rumors. y'all are repeating some of the stuff that, you know, has come up. And I can tell you that the initial person who reached out to me said that they believe that this has to do with the verdict. And so I made an assumption of which side it would be from, but I don't know. Police have not released information about what motivated Brooks' attack during the Christmas parade, and Mayes did not provide any specific details when making the claim. But come on, I mean, he's just saying what we already all know. Brooks posted on social media on Saturday, the day before the attack, that he was not surprised by the Rittenhouse verdict, but authorities have not yet indicated whether the teen's acquittal in Kenosha, 50 miles away, had anything to do with the incident on Sunday. Do we have that picture of this hideously ugly gentleman?
No, but before we forget, I'd like to upload. Everybody would like you to address at some point in the show the Catholic University painting of George Floyd as Jesus Christ. So I'm trying to get that picture up right now.
Yeah, I first saw this, I think it was also Daily Mail. yeah, we'll get that picture up. So George Floyd as Jesus. At Catholic University of America, what is now, I mean, depicting anyone, even one of the saints, as Jesus is just odd. I mean, it's blasphemy. Okay, we all know that. This is a religious channel, right? This is a Roman Catholic channel first, but I assume you guys all know all the religious designations. Of course, it's blasphemy. But it's odd blasphemy, right? To be like, here's St. Thomas Aquinas being whatever, nursed by the Virgin Mary. What? That's one of the saints. That ain't Jesus. It's like one of the dopest saints ever. That's Thomas Aquinas. But why are you doing that? The question is why. But now when you talk about a scumbag, a piece of garbage, who jammed a gun into a pregnant woman's belly and was about to kill her, multiple crimes, long rap sheet, counterfeiting, violent, multiple violent offenses. And he, sooner or later, he gets what's, you know, coming to. He's playing the odds. He's spinning the wheel, Russian roulette, right? A life of crime is a life of danger. This is what the first thing you learn in torts class in law school. If they really cared about guaranteeing auto safety, for example, on the highway, cars wouldn't go faster than 25 miles an hour, and they'd be a big, ugly egg, like a bubble. Right, you'd just be wrapped in. If they were, you could reduce auto accidents to virtually zero, approaching asymptotically zero, and they wouldn't. You know, no one would ever die. But we say no. I'll take the risk. Criminals say no. I'll take the risk. The moral risk of going to hell. George Floyd took that, and the practical risk, the logistical risk of getting capped. Right, getting your neck broken, getting suffocated, whatever happened to this guy, okay? That's what criminals, it's called assumption of the risk in torts. They all take that. So why is everyone pretending, what is it? Oh, yeah, there's the stupid thing. Why is everyone pretending, and maybe we could get that picture, that CNN picture up.
It's up right now on the bottom.
Okay, yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. Why is everyone pretending? I don't mean everyone, because most people are decrying the fact that CUA did this. Anyone with any sense, with a corpuscle of sense in their brains, is like, what the hell? What is going on? But I mean, even people on the kind of soft center right, why do we talk this way about George Floyd? Even if you're one of the people who's like, he's not a good guy, blah, blah, blah. Look, criminals assume the risk, okay? They assume all kinds of risks as outlaws outside of the law. This is a concept that comes from Magna Carta, I think before Magna Carta, the ancient English constitution. To be an outlaw means you're outside the penumbra, the governing and protecting penumbra of civil society. This means you're basically shut outside of the citadel and the protection of its laws. You understand what I'm saying? To be an outlaw, we need to begin talking about serious criminals, violent criminals, this way. Again, they are outlaws. They are not one of us. This has nothing to do with race, right? Except for, you know, the demographics conversation that inevitably ensues this. But nothing metaphysically or categorically to do with race. When you're dealing with a scumbag like George Floyd or Daryl Brooks, whatever this guy is, you're talking about someone that has taken himself, I'm talking, this is Aquinas here, outside the protection of the Citadel and its laws, and its protecting laws. So they are exposed, if I'm exposed to this many risks right now sitting here, right? How many is it? I got radiation happening from some places in the room, you know. When you walk by, we have a Loam microwave in our kitchen. You know, guard your family jewels as you walk by, that kind of thing. I'm exposed to all kinds of risk, right? But it's not much. We have a staircase, you know, compound that risk if you're an insurance adjuster. We have a puppy, you know, who's relieving himself all over the house. The urine can cause you to slip. There can be fecal contamination all over because this new puppy is doing all sorts of funny business in all sorts of places. These are all little risks that I'm an in-law, not in the marital sense, but I'm someone who exists under the penumbra of society's laws. I am much less exposed to risk. Assumption of the risk is the old English common law doctrine of torts. Criminals, violent criminals, and even non-violent criminals, even someone that's dangerously speeding, they're assuming the risk. And there are a manifold of heightened risks associated with taking yourself outside the protective cover of law, of civil society. Not only do you have to kind of, you're on the lam, you're on the run, you're not existing inside cities, you're not living there, right? In our messed up culture, that is where the criminals mostly live. But you're going from town to town. You can't have one address. You can't lay your head to rest knowing you're not being chased. Just think of The Fugitive, the old Harrison Ford remake of the 1950s film. He has to shift spots. When you're a fugitive, when you're an outlaw, you are exposed to, I don't think 10, I think 50 times more risk of daily death. Violent death, tragic death, accidental death, all these different kinds of death. Just by virtue of being an outlaw, you're exposed to all. Why are even the center-right people that talk about George Floyd or whoever this is, Daryl Brooks, as a kind of, yeah, he's not a hero, he's a bad guy, but why so delicate? I don't understand the delicacy that society has taken on with regard to good society, half-sensible society, with regard to criminals, and in particular, if I can be so bold, black criminals. I mean, people were being pretty gay about Rosenbaum and I never remember the other decedent's name. No, Grosskreutz survived, but I always forget the other guy that got capped to death. Anthony Huber, thank you. Gold star. They were being gay about that, but it's only because the media had the narrative to connect it back to race. It's particularly black criminals or criminals related to some black cause. Everyone gets the kid gloves on. Look, I don't care about race. I don't care about race or racism. It's an issue for boomers. It's dead. Don't talk about it seriously in my presence because it's not an intellect. It's an intellectual turd. So I don't care. But what I do notice that's kind of in a third order, tertiarily related to race is like, why does everyone get the kid gloves on when we're talking about criminals? Why, you know, why was everyone getting weird about these guys in, I want to say Waukesha now, in Kenosha? What is with Wisconsin? Why does it have all these weirdo-sounding cities? Is it the, in respect of, and on Thanksgiving, no less, is this a Native American thing? Is this an Indian thing? They have a lot of weird-sounding cities. But Kenosha had three criminals that got, just statistically speaking, what's likely coming to violent criminals, right, a violent death. And people just get weird about it. People in the center and even the center right. I mean, people in the center and center right are pretty fake and gay. If we're just being honest here, they talk about things in a way that they know is wrong, that they think there's some unwritten rule in society you have to soft pedal. That is what's behind the USCCB being more like a center left outfit, I don't even think they're that center left, but they like to appear like center left. And it's a little more obnoxious, it's a little more stinky, it's a little more, you know, gay and kind of openly effeminate the way they do it. The center left and the center right, anytime you go further left, you're going to be a little more effeminate. But it's gross when people talk this way on the center right. Go, oh, these criminals, this is a total shock. No, it's not. They're outlaws. Just from a statistical point of view, my friends, criminals die violent deaths at what I guess to you would be alarmingly high rates compared to the rest of us that live within the protective sheath of society. Look, I got 6 kids running around. We're going to have 7 running around soon. But Steph is pregnant with the 7th. But I mean, yeah, the big news stuck in the middle of like 2 criminal stories. But I mean, what? I'm not a man prone to grandiloquence what's the word? Pomposity, pomp circumstance. I'm worried about the kids when they're downstairs when we're doing this for a half hour, and we have a relatively safe home for kids. Life is dangerous enough. But criminals should just be expected to die. Dangerous criminals should be expected to die any day, right? Because of their lifestyle, their noxious habits, their even bad hygiene, their personal habits. Aristotle talks about this at great length. Their dangerous moral habits, their dangerous logistical habits, their dangerous hygienic habits. Look at this Daryl Brooks guy's hair. It's knotted, it's gnarled. I want to show this picture because CNN... Yeah, so you see the study in contrast here. CNN changed the color of his skin. Isn't that racism? To make him look more whitish. Guys, we have a damn problem in this country, and it's not white racism, right? We have a problem in this country, and it is anti-white hatred. Look at this USCCB. Look at what they just did. If there is a black on white crime perpetrated hatefully, terroristically, center left, I'm sorry to say even sometimes center right people will lie about it for all intents and purposes. As far as I can discern, that is a lie. I'm opining, but I'm 98% sure that that is just a bald-faced lie by the USCCB. I am 98% sure in a reasonably fixed, reasonably certain opinion that CNN took this action to whiten this black guy's skin. I mean, look at his hair. Did they even change his hair? Look at his hair.
It might be a picture from a different time.
Yeah, it could be that. But I mean, he had way weirder hair, right, in this picture. But it's the same picture, I thought. Maybe they just used a time when this guy, you know, didn't have a tan, right? But there's something there. I'm 98% sure that the intent is duplicitous on the part of CNN, on the part of a USCCB, to take a hateful black-on-white crime and to turn it into an accident so it's a no culpability situation. Now, when there is a white on white crime, like Kyle Rittenhouse, obviously, people were not only trying to make him guilty where clearly on videotape, multiple videotapes, no guilt inhered, but also they're trying to make it white on black just because that is in the water in 2021, that scares up the rioting arson mobs. They're trying to do the devil's work. And I don't know when it's a center-left outfit rather than an outfit, like an outright left outfit, like the USCCB, what in hell's name they're trying to do. But it ain't good. It ain't honest. I just can't get around it. I can't get around, look, things need to be, as Kamala Harris says, equitable. If we're going to be howling for the blood of every murderer, then fine, but wait for him to be proven to be a murderer or whatever. Now, when the facts, when you have videotape, that waiting becomes more like a formality, right? I was saying, oh, Kyle Rittenhouse is cool. He's a hero. He defended himself because there's a million videotapes of it. There is a very clear videotape of Daryl Brooks, hateful black domestic terrorist by any sensible standard, plowing down a bunch of white people. He was angry about the Rittenhouse verdict. It was a couple days later. The two towns were practically suburbs with respect to each other. These weird-sounding towns you Wisconsinians have from, like, Native American battles or whatever, or tribes, Kenosha, Waukesha. It's really hard to report. But the point is, let's go with common sense. And I get irritated at people on the center right because they're so guarded if it's black on white. Not guarded if it's white on black. But they're so guarded that it gets dishonest. And then people on the center left and left from there just get outright duplicitous.
Look at the screenshot.
Daryl Brooks shared pro-Hitler memes and called for violence against white people, suggesting Hitler was right for killing Jews. Wow. Wow. That's funny. Yeah, two sides of the same coin. And you know what? Okay, I have to pat myself on the back here a little bit. Just a little bit. Because yesterday I did a tweet saying that there are... That's breaking. That is a breaking story. That the Waukesha... Is that it? Kenosha, Waukesha? The Waukesha black man, the terrorist guy who hated whites. Oh, and oh, so that's it right there. I'm not surprised because I get ahead of the curve.
From the New York Post. It says the ex-con charged over the deaths of six people in Wisconsin Christmas parade shared social media posts calling for violence against white people and suggesting Hitler was right for killing Jews. Now, this is a screenshot. It's supposedly NewYorkPost.com article Daryl Brooks shared pro-Hitler memes called for violence against Jews.
Wowzer. I mean, so look. I was vindicated in like three separate ways just by that. You just saw that right now. Obviously, this was anti-white racism, terrorism. Boom. I've been saying that. And now I can say it a little bit more comfortably. A little more fixedly. Listen to my tweet from 19 hours ago. Just get a load of this, because I know a lot of you guys aren't on Twitter, which is probably a good idea. It would be nice if a lot more of you were on Twitter, because Twitter is the land of losers. It would be nice to have some winners there, so you guys could get some more likes here. Slack-jawed, basement-dwelling illiterates on both the alt-left and the alt-right. This is exactly what this guy just proved. Regularly claim Hitler loved Christianity. In 1942, Hitler vowed to root out and destroy the influence of Christian churches, direct quote, describing Christianity as the evil that is gnawing our vitals. I mean, come on. I did this 19 hours ago. Sometimes I'm just really timely. I don't know how this happens, but I was thinking about it because I didn't know that this guy, Daryl Brooks, liked Hitler. I mean, he probably wouldn't be so comfy under a Hitlerian regime, given his, I don't know, skin and hair. And I'm not saying that would be right. I'm just saying he might want to check his guns at the door, so to speak. But it's just weird. It's weird to be this right. And it's weird that Ben Shapiro did a quote yesterday that I was kind of having a little bit of fun with. He said, "We don't know the motive." I was like, motive is never established beyond a shadow of a doubt, apodictically. Motive is something that the prosecution kind of rolls with. It's all built into the legal theory. You got a weapon, you got a motive. Have you ever played Clue? Right? Motive is always kind of ostensible. So, you know, you don't prove the motive like apodictically. You roll with the motive. Wow, that's incredible. So definitely an anti-white hate crime happened right in the middle of this cast. I don't know, guys. Those are kind of the facts of the case. The USCCB is obviously, in the colloquial sense of the term, just super fake and gay. And they're a center-left outfit heading leftward. The direction of travel is leftward, leftwise. But they're center-left, so everything's a little bit more fake and gay than the center right. But I get sick of the center right being so damn cautious about everything also. It's good to be cautious. I know the rules of defamation. I'm very, very mindful of them on Twitter and even on the show. But it's fine to be like, look, I'm pretty sure, I'm 99% sure this is a anti-white terrorist hate crime. You say that, it still gets categorized as opining. You said I'm 99% sure. And then you just look right later, because everyone knows when you said 99% sure, you meant 99.99. Then you look smart. What we need to do on the Catholic right anyway, and hopefully the right writ large, is to go back to saying common sense things. Like, okay, Daryl Brooks, just for one example, this guy looks like a total scumbag, right? He has like an eye tattoo. Probably guilty of a crime. If not this crime, a crime that hasn't been caught, right?
But people know he's guilty of some crimes.
Yeah.
He has a record.
He has a record. But if you have an eyeball tattoo like that, and you present like that, we probably need to be checking this guy out, regardless of skin color. If you wear your, you know, clothes like that, you wear your tattoos on the face, we probably need you being checked out. Now, I'm having a little bit of fun with a very serious situation. But here's the thing. Let's get philosophically. Atheists immediately took to social media to say, oh, Jesus didn't stop this. God doesn't love Christians. This proves Christianity is false. And dumbass atheists like Richard Dawkins, really dumb ones. Christopher Hitchens is a bit more sharp, but morons like Dawkins have been saying this for decades. Jesus didn't stop this tragedy, which happened to this great Ned Flanders Christian. Remember, there's a Simpsons about it. And all the atheist writers on The Simpsons thought it was really clever. Ned Flanders' house is the only thing that's touched by a storm that comes through town. It's the only thing that's adversely impacted. Ah ha ha ha. Look, we have a book, we have an entire book of the Bible that's about this. Job. The holiest man in the Bible is pinpointed by Satan and God. In a weird way, colluding on this. Satan says, look, I can take your greatest servant from you, just with fortuna, bad fortune. And God says, do your worst. No, you can't. Right? And Job is strong. Job is faithful. Job's heart rings true. He's true blue. Okay, so it's a Christian teaching. And more than that, once you get into the medieval philosophy of it, why do bad things happen to people? And I guess even the dumber you are, the more you emphasize, you italicize good people. It doesn't really matter whether someone's a good. We don't even know what a good versus a bad person is. A saint? Why do bad things happen to saints? Well, maybe it's a test, in which case the dichotomy that I'm about to lay out wouldn't be operative. But in most cases, bad things happen to people because there's a difference between that which God permits in his permit, what we call his permissive will, evil, to happen, and that which God wills actively in his, what we call his wise will. His wise will and his permissive will. Very, very simple. After the lapse of Adam and Eve in the garden, necessitating, by the way, a redeemer, God-man, Christ. Christ was not necessitated to be incarnate before the fall of Adam and Eve, the lapse of Adam and Eve in the garden. After that, this is why I went on at such great length. I'm drawing an analogy here. After that, we are all living in as the state of outlaws. That's why I was going on about that. We are all exposed to risks that we weren't exposed to before. Now, I know, we're talking about outlaws that go outside the state of the criminal law. That's extra outlaw. That's common law outlaw. But we're all original sin outlaws now. The original sin of Adam and Eve tainting all humans who were not divine aside from the Virgin Mary exposed us to sin, sickness, suffering, the three S's, and eventually death. Sin, sickness, suffering, and death. That, my half-literate atheists out there. That is why God, in his permissive will, allows bad things to happen. Wouldn't be the same case if Adam and Eve had it fallen in the garden. But even Adam and Eve's fall, the lapse in the prelapsarian state of Adam and Eve before they ate the apple, God even allowed the fall itself, not with his wise will, but with his permissive will. You don't under, I say this to my half-literate critics of this book, Catholic Republic. This book is all about liberty and free will and the implications thereof. Liberty is something that God is deadly serious about us having. We are the creatures unique with God, the Trinity, and the angels alone, the incorporeal rational spirits. We are the corporeal rational spirits, rational animal. We are the one rational animal. We alone with the angels and God have reason, and reason is all square. It's squarely pointed at liberty. Free will is a very big deal, and most people politically don't understand how important liberty is. Most people don't understand how important it is morally, particularly the Protestants. They go borderline nominalist voluntarist. That's a whole other show. I've talked about it some on Protestant shows, but you guys all underestimate liberty, the value thereof. It is. It has many implications, a manifold of implications that you don't understand. And with Adam and Eve being gifted this divine spark, a rational will and an intellect, God had to say, God has to have some portion of his will, which is not his wise will, but a permissive will, saying, I'm going to let what these other free creatures do, including the angels, who also lapsed, some of them, they had their own lapse. Lucifer and the third of the angels that fell from the sky. God permitted that too. God permits with a non-active, a passive part of his will, the only other free spirits, if you will, free persons in creation to do what they will. And since all of us, even the angels, are not God, we all err, and he allows the error. Humans and angels, aside from God, that's it. Those are the only persons who have freedom. They do bad things. They drive cars into, they riot and cause arson and kill business owners like they did in Kenosha. And they drive cars into families and kill little kids at Christmas parades like they did in Waukesha. And a whole bunch of other bad stuff that you already know about. Human beings do this with their liberty. Angels do this with their liberty. The post-liberals want to say, oh, because they do this, we're going to clamp down on them. That's not what God did. God wanted us to have liberty, and he wanted to see what we'll do with it. That's the whole point of the story of Job. Do your worst, like Edmond Dantès says at his birthday toast to his son. Do your worst. I want to see, you know, I want to not tend the lines here. I want to step away and see who's standing at the end of one life, which humans still love me, which humans still obey me, using their freedoms. So that's humans and angels. That's it. Those are the only people amongst all the other creatures in creation. Remember, the angels are creatures also, even though they're non-corporeal. They have freedom. A lion, I always say this at the beginning of my Aristotle class, a lion, if you're at the zoo and you fall in a lion cage and you're thinking, oh, am I out of luck? Am I going to die? Your fate hangs upon one conspicuous, otherwise unimportant fact. Was this lion night-fed or morning-fed? Let's say you're there in the late morning. If this lion was night-fed, I'm assuming lions only get fed for one time a day at the zoo. Just go with it. If it was night fed, then you're out of luck, right? Because he's hungry and you're going to die. Lions don't have free wills. That's not murder. Lions are like machines. Animals are meat machines. They just do what they're wired to do, what the vector sum of their appetites wire them to do. If that lion, on the other hand, was morning fed, if he was fed an hour ago, the vector sum of the total of his appetites will strongly impel him to sleep off the meal. He might be getting a little, inchoate hunger starting again, which began the hour after he ate. That's how the appetites work. But it's not very strong. It's going to be outweighed, outnumbered by his desire for sleep. Okay? My point is, all animals, even the more intelligent animals, like a lion, reasonably more intelligent than a gnat, are not free. Most of the creatures are not free. Our freedom, ours and the angels, alone with God, the only other rational persons in creation. I mean, you know, the animals don't count as persons because they're not rational. The only other rational creatures who are human persons, corporeal, and angelic persons who are incorporeal, we alone create this havoc. We create this havoc. I'm ruminating a bit on the day before Thanksgiving now. We go about our lives bumping into things brashly, brazenly, like bulls in china shops, causing hurt. That hurt comes from our freedom and the rectificatory effort of going to confession, asking your brother, your friend, your parent, your kid for pardon. Well, that comes from free will too. And that's what makes Richard Dawkins' Christianity makes so much damn sense. That's what makes it make so much sense. Because what ultimately matters is not, did you ever err with your liberty? Yes, every human who ever had liberty besides Jesus and Mary erred with their liberty. But where did the score end up when regulation expired? When the time ran out, were you in a phase of erring with your liberty? You're out of luck. Or were you in a phase of rectification with your liberty? Had you asked for pardon? We say this to the Protestants too, who say asking for pardon, saying sorry, reforming your ways doesn't matter. That's cuckoo. It matters very much. What? I mean, anyone can get a 10-point lead in the first quarter of a basketball game. Anyone can go to confession when they're young. You gotta die in a state of grace, sanctifying grace. It's very simple. You see how that works? And it proves the whole logic of creation, of the fact that God chose to create other persons, incorporeal ones like angels, incorporeal ones like humans, both of whom erred morally. He was willing, with his wise will and his permissive will, to say there's going to be two modes of human existence, when they can be united with me, and angelic existence, when they can be united with me. That's what he wills with his wise will. But also there's the second mode. With his permissive will, he'll also say, I will allow that which is wrong to happen in the name of liberty. So that God, the Trinity, this is God speaking now, I am not the only person in existence. I didn't just want to create a bunch of inanimate rocks, motionless trees and plants, and witless animals. I wanted to create rational animals as well, like humans, and rational spirits like the angels, who are not even, do not even get individuated by the principle of individuation, having bodies, having matter. He wanted it that way. So there has to be this doctrine of permissive will. Now, think about how the Lord, as you know, alcoholics will say, can draw straight with crooked lines. He can make, because you know, the permissive will and the wise will being what they are, he can even take all that which he permitted, all that evil, all that hurt, all those massacres, all those riots, all those fires. He can take those. And if even the sinners repent and reconcile to him and repair their ways, he can make them perfect in the end. That's amazing. But the action has to be initiated by the person. It ends up being sacramental action, but it's not sacramental in the first place. It's just saying sorry. He can perfect that. And this great doctrine is a beautiful doctrine. The sin of Adam and Eve, by which all of us had to die, the sin of Eve, by which all of us had to die, according to the first fathers of the church, like Jerome and Augustine and Ambrose, they all said this. Eve sinned, so we had to die. Mors per Avam, vita per Mariam. Death through Eve, life through Mary. Mary is the new Eve. Because God is perfect and miraculous, he can literally render perfection out of imperfection. And this is called the doctrine of eucatastrophe, like Eucharist. Eucatastrophe. From catastrophe, he can make good. From crooked lines, he can draw straight. Even this scumbag, whatever his name is, Daryl Brooks. Give it over to Jesus, man. Don't be a born again. That's fake. That's phony. That's fugazi. Become a Christian. Come into sacramental contact with our Lord. Come into natural contact with those you've offended. Ask for pardon. And even this guy, like a scumbag, get a haircut, right? Clean yourself up. Get rid of all your eyeball tattoos. Say sorry to all of the people you've harmed really, really deeply. And even you, even murderers that murder 10 times more people, 100 times more than you. Because of this doctrine of eucatastrophe, because of this mathematically correct, logically fitting interrelation between God's wise will and his permissive will, which all the atheists can't, they're so dumb, they can't account for how mathematically apt this concomitance between God's wise will and permissive will is. It proves God's existence, right? It's amazing. It might not prove, might not demonstrate it, but as a quia demonstration, it's very evidentiary. It's strong evidence. Suspect charged in Waukesha tragedy called for violence against white people. There it is. It's so obnoxious. Michael Savage used to say this. I used to listen to him all the time, and it's annoying. He used to say, oh, I'm sick of being right all the time. I'm not right all the time, right? But I'm prescient a lot of the time. Definitely wrong some of the time, and I don't get sick of being right a lot of the time, but I'm not going to exaggerate like Michael Savage. Just, this one was pretty obvious. I was tweeting about it yesterday. I was also right about the fact that morons, I'm talking incel retards who hang out on Twitter all day on the alt-right, alt-left, a lot of them call themselves tradcaths, these morons who actually think Hitler was a Christian, morons tend to think Hitler supported them. This is a black guy with dreads and like a teardrop, stupid-looking tattoo. Hitler would have hated you, man. And I'm not saying he should have. I'm just saying he would have hated you. Stupid Christians, incels, angry, bitter losers on Twitter all day long. They think Hitler would have liked him. Why does everyone want Hitler's approval? Hitler was a neo-pagan loser, right? He's a bum. But for some reason, if you are a bitter loser on the internet and you're angry and weeping and probably self-abusing yourself a whole lot, several times a day, you tend to seek out the approval of Adolf Hitler posthumously. And that's odd to me. It's odd to me that a black man with dreadlocks would do that. It's odd to me that a Christian would seek the approval posthumously of Hitler. You're an odd bunch. The internet is it's a weird place. Not as much fun as weirdos tend to think it is. God bless you guys. God bless you on Thanksgiving Eve, which is today. Thank you all for tuning into this show. I really appreciate you. I am thankful for you, as the bourgeois impulse in me impels me to say. You know, you're supposed to, if you're super bougie, you say what you're thankful for on Thanksgiving. You should try to do that every day of the year. Patrons, thank you. Other indirect supporters of this program, thank you. Remember, $20 patron tier that's new is called the St. Luke's Single Society. We are having our second meeting soon. It's where goodly retrogrades and parish orphans can meet, guys and gals. That will be soon. Oh, do we have a date for that?
I think it's December 4th. Let me look.
It's a Thursday, whatever that is. First Thursday in December. At Christmas gift cards will be sent out for our patrons, and it's going to be
not the Christmas for patrons. That's for the gift card, the $200.
Oh, yeah.
Be sending some gift cards or some Christmas cards to patrons, but this is something different.
Yeah. Final point. Yeah, you'll be getting patron Christmas cards from us, but we have this ongoing contest It's a contest of wise will, permissive will meeting. You know, who really needs help this Christmas? Write us an email at timothyjgordon@timothyjgordon.com. Tell us your sob story, not to make light. We want to get you at least, you know, if you have a really compelling story and you're one of the more compelling stories, a $200 gift card, write us there. That's an ongoing thing. We did a full show about it on Monday, but people seemed to think it was just one of our service announcements. I treated it like a 25-minute show. And yeah, and that's it. By the way, saying Xmas is 100% Christian certified. It's Christian kosher, if you will. X stands for Chi, as in Cairo. It has for 2,000 years. Christians have used Xmas for as long as, you know, Chi could be Anglified. So I guess not quite. It was Seamus before that. So X stands for Jesus, according to the Greek, Cairo. God bless you guys. God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your families. Be tough. Be strong. Be faithful. Be good to one another. Deus vult.